You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode of Gunapod TT. And I'm saying it now. Keegan, you could join me with me one time. London is red, boy. Red. We red. You understand what I'm saying, man? Like, we'll get to that, you know, but London is red. Hey, this is your boy Dion, and I'm here as always with none other than Keegan, man. Keegan, say what's up to you people, man.
What's up, Gunas? What's up? What's up?
Yo, I am excited, but like, me and Keegan sit down and watch a game with my brother and Sonny as well. Yo, shout to Sonny one time. I think I let go a little scream at the end of the game. Like, I was like, yes, get over these bastards. But like, it just feels so much special to beat Tottenham. I can't even describe the joy that I feel when I beat them, man. I just love it. And so, I say I, like I play, but see, so like going, I beat them, man.
So you're going to the first game, the last game first, huh?
No, I just wanted to get out anyway.
I
still want to end on the Tottenham game because it was probably the best game out of the rounds.
I will save my comment for
after. I mean, obviously the last time we was here, we had just finished playing Olympiacos. That's my bad. We had finished playing Benfica. Made it out of the Benfica, Europa League.
Or Leicester?
No, well, my bad. Leicester was the last time. I remember the Benfica win. And then I remember the Leicester win as well. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like out of the wins, that was more impactful, the Benfica one was really. Like, I remembered most now, boy.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, Ceballos almost cost us.
Ceballos
almost cost us. And we had to talk about him again. Well, let me get into the first game, because coming out of the Leicester City game, we had our full break. We was able to go in to play Burnley. And I remember specifically saying we was going to beat Burnley 3-0. We was going to beat Olympiacos 3-0. And we was going to beat Tottenham 3-0. I remember saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
At least in one of the games we scored 3. That's how I feel. At least we scored 3 in one of the games. But let's go with this Burnley game now. What you thought about the lineup for this game?
It's like William starting again.
I mean, are we surprised the man played, you know, decent recently?
Yeah, to be fair, he has been playing decent.
I mean, and he's been getting games when he's been playing dog. So it can be a big surprise that he started this game. I think one of the biggest surprises for me with that game, we saw Chambers at the right back. Yo, what Bellerin do, eh? I mean, I know we have been, well, I don't know if it's really we, but I know a lot of Arsenal people have been on his back a lot. But, like, Chambers is not a person I expected to see a right back, given the lack of pace in our way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he now come back from a very, very serious injury.
Yeah.
He's not getting games per se in the first team. And to be starting,
I don't think Chambers put a foot wrong.
No, I don't think Chambers is the kind of player that puts a foot wrong. It's just that he not at the quality level. Like, when he's playing at right back, he's not quick enough to deal with the pace he wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll get beat all day for pace. Playing at centre back, I mean, he was better than, like, Mustafi and those guys, but, like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think I could pick Chambers over Holden, or I could pick Chambers over David Luiz.
I'll pick Chambers over Holden.
Nah.
I'll pick Chambers over Holden.
I find a little real disrespect Holden, you know, boy. Like, when it comes to defending, personally, I feel like when it comes to just being a defender, tackling and things, like, Holden is top, though. I mean, it's all that things that you're wearing a defender, obviously, but, like, I mean, the only player that I think is just a overall better defender on the team right now is Gabriel. Pablo, maybe. But no, I don't think I could read and see Chambers over Holden, like, for sure. I mean, he's a better, he'll play the ball better. I wouldn't argue that, but I mean, nah.
You forget Holden. You forget Chambers just before he get injured.
I do forget Chambers. I read Chambers. I just think that Chambers' best position might end up being right next to Partey in the middle. I don't think he's a center back. But I guess we'll see. I mean, the best footballer he played was that season at Fulham. Mm-hmm. When he was playing as a defensive midfielder. Focused on just that. I mean, he has a good enough passing range. So, I think he's a bad player. I'm just not sure if he is a starter for Arsenal at any position.
I want to keep him as a squad player, though.
He's definitely a good squad player. Exactly. For the fact that he could play right back, he could play centre back, he could fill in any middle. Right? But, I mean, no other surprises in the lineup. You know, we had David Luiz, Mari, Xhaka and Partey, Odegaard, Saka, Aubameyang. No Lacazette. We haven't seen... I didn't think we saw Lacazette for a good few games, you know, prior to this. I don't think he didn't play against Leicester. He didn't play against Benfica as well. Didn't start that game. But Aubameyang in form, so you can't really, you know, knock it too much. No, he started against Leicester. That's my bad.
I started to echo your sentiments about Saka needing a rest.
Yeah. You can't run a player like Saka into the ground like what I've been seeing lately. I mean, he's obviously our best player, but for me, this was our game to not play him. You understand? It's our game to start Pepe.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I would love to see. I'd love to see Pepe and Willian, because I think recently they've been showing our uptick now and playing decently. It's not like they're playing bad basketball. No, I'm saying basketball. Bad football, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, interesting lineup, nevertheless. But we had the week off, so, you know, when you have a week off, you're going to play all you want. Unfortunately, I didn't see this game. What you thought about the game, though, like, overall? Like, how we played during this game?
I think this is when the pepper start, boy, where we was on the front foot and just not finishing with dinner, boy.
I keep feeling lately like we just unlucky when it comes to the finishing right now.
We had four big chances created and then we score one.
Yeah, I see, because I've been seeing, like, just from watching highlights and stuff, you're seeing a lot of shots being taken. I mean, plenty crossbar shots, plenty shots that are going over, but... plenty Thomas Partey, you know.
And I honestly don't mind that, you know, because I used to get sick and tired of just knocking it around the 18 and knocking it, and nobody taking a crack.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, take a crack, but they had to test the keeper, boy. And it get worried, you know, when you're not going on, test the keeper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let me get into the first goal now, obviously, you know. We boy William Borges with another assist.
Both assists was what he do, dog?
That's he passed the ball to the person that scored it. That goal, is counts as an assist. Stop fighting, don't need that. You're fighting, need
that. That goal was ball party.
Yeah.
And Aubameyang.
Well, obviously, it was all Aubameyang because he scored it, right? Yeah, the body man have assists, dog. Like, he's been adding to his total looks. He has 5 assists this season, us. Yo, like, he's not playing bad at all, us. So, it's like... I mean, sorry. I'm talking trash. Later on, the goal, obviously, Partey doing well, finding Willian.
Mm-hmm.
And Willian taking a little 1-2 step. Touch it off to Aubameyang, and Aubameyang squeezes it past Nick Pope.
He didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming too. I mean, once again, I have to say, I hope that my boy Pepe is watching Aubameyang with his stepovers. Right? Aubameyang is not a stepover man, but, you know, he has been doing it Just one or two. Just one, two step overs. Push the strong foot. Take the shot. Don't overdo it. You know?
Yeah, these step overs is just to buy time and create space.
Exactly. To create space.
To do something. Yeah, like, and then you push past the player. You take a pass. You take a shot. It's not to step for step and stick.
Exactly, because when you're doing these step over, it's like you do it, and when you see the defender comes in to tackle you, that's when you take that opportunity to go past them now.
Yeah.
And that's Aubameyang has been using that with a level of effectiveness that's amazing to me. And you know, he scores the goal because he does his step overs, gets his pace, hits it hard and low. Nick Pope hardly has time to really, you know, come on.
Nick, I think Nick Pope hardly do better to it, because I hit.
Yeah.
He got a hand on it now, a glove on it, and he still couldn't keep it out on your near post. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think he needed to do better, but who's upset?
Not me.
Burnley fans. So, yeah, that being said, I think before, you know, the Tottenham game, the big controversy really going on is, is it Leno's fault? You know, I was a big discussion, like, is it Leno's fault or is it Xhaka's fault for the goal I was scored? You know, Chris Wood just being fortuitous, able to just get the ball ricocheted off his tummy and he just hit it. You know, I guess that's the good effects of having abs burn. You probably just need abs so the ball wouldn't just hit a soft pouch and stop. It's some hard and bouncy Nico, right? Well, yeah.
That's all Xhaka.
That 100% is Granit Xhaka. I don't understand whether or not people like the pass or not. I heard people saying, like, Leno crazy. He know he shouldn't pass to somebody like Xhaka in that situation. I want to say, first of all, Xhaka was not under any sort of pressure. He take a bad first touch, panic, and clear with his weak foot. That don't even make any sense. Like, I mean, if you panic, you go in and clear with your weak foot, boy.
Well, he didn't clear, see. He tried to.
And he tried a pass. It wasn't even a clearance.
He tried.
Well, that kind of clearance pass. It was absolute garbage, boy. Like, I can't even fathom the amount of trash that was from Xhaka. And I don't blame Leno. At the end of the day, the manager is playing football of passing the ball around. Getting the attackers from the other team to press in so you could create space for the midfield to operate. That's just on the attackers to operate. That's just how it is. You kick the ball forward, men will have time to, you know, regress now, boy. Set up the defensive shape better. You're trying to pull the team forward to shake up their solidity, shape up their shape. You know, so that you could create chances better now, boy. So the objective is to play it slow, knock it wrong in the back, and then break quickly when their shape is not there. You understand? So it's kind of like that. But to me, 100% Xhaka is football. You're a professional footballer making upwards of how much of $1,000 per week. You had to be able to play under some sort of pressure. You had to be able to use your brain properly, boy. That's my problem, man. And that's one of the reasons why Granit Xhaka cannot make it at the club, boy. Because he will always have those games where he play exceptionally well. And then he just pull up and he perfectly filling in for Mustafi right now. You understand what I'm saying? And like, just pulling up and like mashing it up. You understand? And this was a game where we could have gotten the 3 points, for sure. And that bad mistake,
because they didn't create anything, you know?
They didn't create much at all. You know, I mean, obviously, in games, there are chances. But this was our moment that literally said, we're not going out and get 3 points because of bad play by someone. You understand what I'm saying? And then, obviously, the other controversy in this game, but more of a refereeing controversy. You know, we had our handball overturned. Well, it wasn't called. I don't think the referee called it, and VAR didn't give it. Definite handball, right?
On Pepe?
Yeah.
Yeah, definite handball, man. Come on. That is the same thing that this Smith Rowe.
Yeah.
Same thing like what Smith Rowe the other day, and they gave it. So I don't know why they didn't
do it first. I can understand how VAR didn't tell the referee to overtune it, to look at the monitor, anything like that. Because that man clearly extended his hand. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like his hand was in a bad position. He extended his hand like he would extend his foot. And obstructed the ball in the box as a penalty all day, every day. You understand?
Yeah.
And, you know, unluckiness. I think throughout this season, there has been bad football. And there have been unluckiness. And we kind of again plagued by both at the same time. Like bad football and just being unlucky.
But to be honest, since we changed to the 4 in the back, 4-2-3-1, we actually playing good football, so...
Yeah, for sure.
Not just the terrible football anymore, but the football.
Well, and more unluckiness and poor refereeing. I do think it's very hard to look back at games that we've played this season where we could say, like, yeah, the referee was good in this game. Like, there's very few and far between where, like, the referee hasn't had a major impact in whether we win or we lose. And it's unfortunate. I always feel like, you know, outscore the team now, boy. You know, even if the referee make a bad call, at least we score for it. So, we don't have to depend on the referee and call. But in the moments when we do, when we need that referee to get it right, we need the video assistant referee to get it right, it's kind of annoying that they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's how I felt about that. So 2 points drop. It kinda feel like the impossible road to fourth place just got even more impossible. But the road to the Champions League showed some more glimmer of hope as we played Olympiacos. You know, everybody was talking like, you know, a revenge game, the Sanda Olympiacos knocked us out last time. And as I said last time too, I don't remember Olympiacos knocking us out because I have no time to focus on negativity. What I have time for is positivity, and we won this game 3-1. What you thought about the lineup for this game? Obviously, you know, it being a Tuesday game, and we were gonna play on Sunday. You know, you really had to take into consideration the players now. You know, so what you thought about the lineup, Ben?
I say this man start William again.
more than that, it looked like he start the same 11 minus Pablo Mari and Callum Chambers.
Yeah.
Exact same 11.
I think now for the past couple of games, so our last 5 games were 2 wins draw and two wins again. And I feel like Arteta trying to bring some sort of stability to the first 11 now. I realize like a lot of the players having repeat performances. And usually every week is a new thing. And for the past couple of games, I realized he's choosing the same 11 a lot more than he would have done in the past. So that's a good thing. I think that's a really good thing that he's doing because you want that kind of consistency and players learning how to play with each other in the competitive arena. Because playing with somebody in training is one thing, but knowing how to function and when it matters most.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you know, see in a relationship where you know your partner through the hard times.
Yeah.
So training is one thing, but in the actual game, is a different story. So yeah, so I appreciate that what Mikel doing, with picking the same team over and over. The only person that don't get benched is Saka, cause it's too much, boy.
And as I said, like repeat picking is not bad for me, right? I think that Emil Smith Rowe is a player that has shown that he isn't as durable, right? So, he really need a little rest in between. So I don't mind the Willian pick again. Saka runs a lot, bro. Like, Saka does not stop running, boy. And so, that kind of player who's running a lot, and because he's running a lot, he's always a threat. He's getting kicked down a lot.
And the referee's not protecting him?
Yeah. He's getting a lot of fouls as well. And, you know, the amount of time I see players just going for Saka is like, you know, they're trying to bring him down, obviously, you know. And he need a break. To be honest, like, I saw that man just being an ice bath after every game. Icing his ankles after every game because he's get kicked a lot, you know.
Bro, Saka just being that barrel for a little 10 minutes longer than everybody else.
Right. And at the end of the day, oh, go on. Atata, please pick Pepe, like.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you didn't pick him for Burnley. Pick him for Olympiacos. Like, I don't see that Pepe is the choice between Saka and... I don't see any the first choice between the two anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have our North London derby coming up on Sunday. Give Saka a rest so he could actually get to perform properly in the derby. You understand? What wrong with... Like, even if Pepe come and play good against Olympiacos, they know how to drop him into the... Like, it's not like he's going to score a hat-trick. I don't think he's going to pull off a hat-trick against Olympiacos, and they have to play him in the derby. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like... Play the down now, but like... I think... And the funny part is Pepe struggled a lot at the beginning of the season. And the man... Like, starting to hit his stride, starting to hit his form.
As soon as he gets in form.
As soon as he's starting to hit it a little bit, it's like, that's it.
Bench.
That's crazy, bro.
Take a 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
That's crazy to me. And he's supposed to be playing the games like this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But other than that, no other real complaints about the lineup, I think. Xhaka really doesn't run, so you don't really need that rest at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I mean, it's good to get Partey. I think Partey needs to play as much as possible now. I mean, you still have to be careful with the injury, but I think this time he hasn't been rushed back from the recovery any injury. So, he should be fine. It's just a matter of him to get our fitness up and our familiarity. And, you know, get back on the ball again now, but he hasn't been on the ball in a while. Yeah, that exactly what I was thinking. Match sharpness, right? So, let me get into the game itself, right? Olympiacos was nowhere in this game at all at any point in time. But once again, we seem like unlikely to break them down, you understand what I'm saying? Actually, we had like 1,000,001 shots.
18 shots.
Exactly. That's plenty shots to only score 3. I'm on 3-4 on target for this game. Like, probably like, what, like 10? Exactly my point. You don't even want to read that stat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we had 18 shots.
Half was on target.
Half of them on target. That's crazy, bro. That's like, crazy.
Just about half, yeah.
No, 8 on target.
Yeah, 8 on target.
4 off target and the block 6 shots. Talk about unlucky. We had the post in this game.
This was the post game?
We didn't do woodwork in this game. I think we did, or no? Or against Burnley. No, it's Burnley. It's Burnley. Ceballos in the woodwork. Down to the end. My bad. Yeah, so... What can I say, boy? Like, I wasn't worried about this game at all. I knew that we was gonna win. I think the last time when we lost last year was more our fault than Olympiacos actually being a good team when we lost to them last year. We exercised the demons a little bit. We had to finish it on Tuesday, obviously, coming here. So, you know, it was good game. Let's talk about our goal now, boy. I beat around the bush. They talk about Martin Odegaard now, boy. I've been hearing people saying Atata might have to bench him for 3 to 4 games so that so he valuing the skyrocket and then they're gonna be calling a 60 or 80 million for him in the end.
But it's 80 million I heard they want for him.
That's a lot of money, boy. Like, for me, I think if they were 80 for him, like, we just loan him back next season. You know, give him that proper year, and you know, probably wait till the contract just run down and we can buy him for cheaper. But I don't see how we in which Arsenal buy him for that 80 million up front, maybe like our 40. It's kind of like our Andy Pepe deal,
yeah.
You know, like our 40 up front, and then you know, the do where it's called that thing, installments yearly.
But my friend made a very valid point where it comes to Odegaard, so he is like, he rates Odegaard. But Odegaard have nothing on his CV. So how could you pay 80 million for a player that has done nothing?
The thing about it is, what Odegaard had on his CV is being on the national team at 16. And at the end of the day, I think that when you look at him, you can see his technical quality one time. I think the hard part with him is that he hasn't been... I think he make a footballing mistake by going to Real Madrid. Because Real Madrid is a very difficult team as a youth to try to come through. I mean, he have players like Luka Modric. He have players like Toni Kroos. Like, how are you going to come through in that team? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think he... 18 million is his price because I think you could see his quality. You could see his potential. Like, you could see that he's probably going to be one of the best midfielders in the world within the next 5 years. That is a possibility for him. And if you sell him for anything less, and he turns out to be one of the best midfielders in the world, like he turns out to be like Kevin De Bruyne levels, you know, Mesut Ozil levels, you know, like, you're going and feel like you rob yourself, you understand, especially that he is so young. So, I get the prices because he's young, because it's there, and I sure by the time he's 25, he's going to be one of the top midfielders in the world, you know what I'm saying?
Well, not if he's playing with Real Madrid, because he's going to get a sweat.
Maybe if he's playing with Arsenal. Maybe if he plays with Arsenal, you know. Coming up right around the time of Bukayo, you know what I'm saying? If it seems so perfect. Hey, Kroenke, sign him up. Spend the money. Throw the bag.
You can send back Ceballos.
Throw the bag. Yeah, exactly. You know, Ceballos had to go back. Obviously. But that goal, we talk about him, but we didn't even talk about the goal. That goal was ferocious by, like, war strike by, like, I was watching the highlights and the camera was showing the keeper's face and the eyes was open so wide.
He
like,
looked genuinely surprised because the ball swerved last minute on him.
He looked surprised, but he looked kind of scared, you know, like, damn, this going on score. You know what I'm saying? He got hunted and it wasn't enough, like, bow, back at the net, but into the roof, like, whew. That's quality.
Shots from outside the box.
Yeah, that's crazy quality, but now we get to the part that we had a talk about, unfortunately. So that's to be clear. What you thought about this goal that Olympiacos scored? Obviously Leno is at the center of it again. Playing out of the back. Passing to Ceballos. Leno was outside the box as well for this. Right? Or right at the edge of the box for this. Just to clear the air, who you think is at fault here for this goal? Leno or Ceballos?
Alright, so Partey gets knackered, Rose,
right,
and they bring on Ceballos.
Right.
And it is $155,000, too much. It's about 80% Leno and 20% Ceballos.
Wow. Wow. So we disagree. We disagree because I think it's 100% Ceballos.
Well, you think Ceballos could have bounced him back in China trying to do a Rabona cut back through the four men?
I wanna come in closer to the mic. Ceballos is a madman, boy. That's all I had to say. Ceballos is a madman, boy. Time on place, though.
Bro, that's a hospital pass.
Dog, but yeah, what you saying, right? Okay, Leno puts a hard pass. Now, hospital. What you think? Leno puts a difficult pass. I'm not saying the pass perfect, right? Leno puts a difficult pass, right? And, you know, I was watching a little, you know, analysis, right? We're just showing you that Ceballos is surrounded by four men.
Yeah. Right? And Leno is seeing that it had other men free, right, than the left and right.
So, here's my thing. I know so vexed with the pass because I tell myself, if Ceballos was able to pass out of that situation,
mm-hmm,
four men committed him, right? Okay. That's just my thought. So it's maybe it's not so much of a bad pass because maybe the system is to try to get people to not defend men, not to defend the space, but try to gravitate towards the ball, so you create space, right? That's just my thinking. Maybe that's the tactic, right? What's Ceballos doing, though?
He tried to do a Rabona cut.
And
not a Rabona cut, a Cruyff cut. Sorry.
My thing about it is...
To turn and defend.
My thing about it is, right? I don't even find nothing wrong with trying a skill, you know, and it not coming off, right? Everybody, you try a little thing, mm-hmm. it ain't gonna come off, right? Your goalkeeper is outside of his box, though. Your goalkeeper pass the ball to you outside of your box, though. Play safe, like it had it, like dog. Time and place. You know what I'm saying? Whether or not, as you say, it's a hospital pass. Whether or not, you know, they don't have no right to have people free. Dog, why is he playing with the ball there in that moment? Dog, any goalkeeper could pass the ball to somebody outside the box and then decide to play. You decide to cap the man. What kind of, like, what are you trying to do? Like, why?
I didn't come off.
No, and as simple, and it didn't come off. Like, imagine if he did try the curve cut thing, you see, yeah. and get you on goal. Ooh, brilliant. But it's still absolutely too risky, you know? Even if he felt like he was under pressure, one touch pass straight back to Leno, and Leno could square it wide. He could have cleared.
Mm-hmm.
But he played with it.
Just like with the Xhaka situation. However, with the Xhaka situation, Leno didn't put him...
Leno didn't play with any pressure.
It was a pass.
Yeah.
It was a professional pass. It was a pass that Xhaka was supposed to handle better. But the one with Ceballos...
As you say...
He put Ceballos in the morgue with that pass, dog.
You say 80-20 Ceballos.
Mm-hmm.
80-20 Leno, sorry. I say 90-10 Ceballos. Because at the end of the day, as I said, considering Xhaka, I'm going to say this considering Ceballos as well. You are a professional football player. You have to understand situations and understand what you should be doing from what you shouldn't be doing in certain situations. Yes, you have flame and you have a little trick in them. Obviously, we see little tricks from Ceballos over time. But use last man besides your keeper. You understand what I'm saying? Like, the center backs are spread. There's nobody to help you or the goalkeeper, bro. Make the safe pass. Make the safe pass. You could cuss out Leno after I say Leno, what kind of shipping is that? You understand what I'm saying? Or you could wait for me there. But why would you decide? You so comfortable to decide that way, boy? To play
so,
that
so
game?
So confident in his ability that didn't come off.
That's ridiculous, boy. I personally, I understand people who are upset with Leno, you know? I'm not saying no, you know? But you can't tell me that's a bias. Make the right decision by deciding to try a trick there. You understand? By trying to be fancy there.
80-20, dog.
I mean, I need to disagree on whose fault. For me, you're a professional football player. You're playing football 20-something years, dog. Like, there's no way somebody started playing football at 13, 14. The man have at least 15 years of football in him, dog. You telling me nobody hard clocked that kind of behavior out of you, dog? You know what I'm trying to say?
You is violence, dog.
Listen, I just think that certain things, you might need a hard clock and you will stop it. You understand? That's why I can't be a football manager. I would be reported for abuse. That's why I can't
violent do violent conduct in the dressing room.
Then again, I feel like the players might beat me up. Imagine, like, I'm trying to clout a man like Lukaku, dog. I sure they get excited. Sure they get bizarre. But anyway, that's how I feel about the goal. I think that conduct, even, I mean, it's football. I don't think there'll ever come a time where somebody in make a bad pass for you. You understand? It's part of the game. You must know it's a bad pass and you must know what to do in the situation.
Yeah, don't put the man anymore with that pass, though.
Whatever. I'll even it there. Next, you know, let's get on to the next goal. To put us back up on top, Gabriel. Great, great cross from my dog. Who crossing that ball for him, boy?
It was William?
Please don't say it's William now, boy.
It was William.
Oh my god. Ugh, I'm feeling sick, yes. I say my dog and his, if it's William, boy. Ugh. That's how I feel. I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, boy, William. Jesus.
I tell you that.
Was that corner?
I think it was a free kick, but close to which part the corner is.
Yeah, well, shout out to Lilian, you know, whipping in them asses.
So, hey, now, that is probably the best header I've seen. Drew has some regular headers.
Yeah, Drew has some crazy headers.
But that header, that Gabriel, whew,
Who was the player that he leap over at the buzzer? He wanted that.
I don't even know. He wanted that foul.
He wanted that foul, bro.
He wanted that foul.
First to begin with, he didn't jump. So you can't go no foul there.
Yeah.
You understand? Gabriel jump. If it's anybody to foul, it's you foul Gabriel.
Yeah.
And it's a penalty. So, better let's take all the goal and cool it. You understand?
No, that was just... I watched it and I was like, ooh, that's a good header, dog. Like, to get that, to... Cause
why you keep saying that's a good header, dog?
Dog, it's all like, ooh, that's a good header, dog. Like, you know, something good.
Bro, that was a superb.
It's something just... sublime. And it's just good, dog. Just good. Like...
A fantastic.
It's about a little you with the O's there, dog. Like, it was stupendous. Good, dog. Nah, it was good.
A magnificent header.
I like the header, right?
Even the level of importance of that goal, bro.
I do lash, man. No. That goal was a monumental one. I think seeing the ball curving in, that area where nobody was, Gabriel getting there, getting off the ground, going back across the goal to get the force to beat the keeper, period. Come on, that's brilliant, sir.
After you win the Europa League,
oof.
That goal gonna be like.
Oh, we better here, boy. That's what I wanna know.
Fighter goal.
Oh, we better here. That's what I wanna know.
What do you mean,
no? After we win the Europa League, maybe we had to bet something.
You like to bet, though?
Yeah, because I just win. Anyway, I was playing, but. Nah, that's a vital goal for sure. And then, obviously.
That goal as good as the current 21 before.
Oof. Come now, though.
Mm-hmm.
Come now, though.
Yeah?
Nah, you can't put on quarantine.
What you mean, though? Even the level of importance.
You mad. Maybe the level of importance, but when you talk about quarantine, he's slapping that ball. Quarantine, he slap that ball. When he taking that shot, he slap that, like, this is, like, whew, I can't even describe it. I get chills. Let me talk about El Nini now, boy.
It is not. KT is the best left back in the league.
El Nini started this game? No, he came on.
Quarantine is the best left back in the league.
I feel really had to sit down and consider it. After the 38 games, I really want to look at all the left backs. But I really don't think it's any left back that surpass him this season. I see people comparing him to Luke Shaw. I haven't really watched much of Manchester United. But one of them younger and one of them older. Bro,
when we play Manu, Luke Shaw was it pocket. Can't find Luke Shaw.
No, well, I don't think Luke Shaw that good going forward. Like, he's okay going forward, but I don't think on quarantine levels. And Kieran miss a lot of games, too. So I think his stats kind of behind a little bit. But
well, FIFA still has quarantine stats on 70s.
And dog, FIFA is not a good game. Like, you just start there, dog. First and foremost, FIFA is not a good game. I cannot read nothing now FIFA does. And I've said this time and time again, since Arsenal has been sponsored by Pro Evolution Soccer. They're fighting we, dog. They've been fighting we since that sponsorship come true. But let me talk about the Egyptian now, dog. Let me talk about Mohamed El Nini now, boy.
The man come with any luck, dog.
Yeah, this is what his second goal from outside the box this season.
Oh, this season? I don't know what I said.
Yeah, season. Yeah, second one. I mean, goalkeeper should have done better, but he slapped that boy. That ball was swerving too. I really don't think count. I don't think the keeper could have done much. He got a little hand on it, but it was swervy. Good goal. Settle it. Obviously, we was away from home too. So, you know, three away goals.
No, that goal, the importance of that goal as well, it can't be understated. Because that goal... Yeah,
that can make it so easy for us in this next game in the tie. We probably just don't even... We probably could just make sure... Take it on, you know.
Bro, it don't matter who we play. It don't matter who we play in the next leg now because of that.
Yeah, for sure. So, that's it. Now we get to the part that I love so much. I can't describe how I just feel when we beat Tottenham. Boy. I've never been to London. I've never walked inside the Emirates Stadium. We'll do it someday for certain. But you see when we beat Tottenham, boy, I just feel like I did, boy. You know what I'm saying? I feel this spurred, boy. Like, I cannot describe how much I dislike Tottenham, my boy. I remember the last time we played them on day one, back in the toilet, right?
Oh my god!
Yeah, obviously. Back when we played them in the toilet, my boy. I remember after the game, some Arsenal fans were saying, look at how Tottenham just play. And I was like, wait, hold up. Hold up. One sec. Are you watching Tottenham play football, boy? At any time I could watch Tottenham play football is when they're going and lose spectacularly. Or when we playing them. It's the only time. I watched them in the Champions League final because I knew that it was going to lose because that's who they are. Losers.
And lose spectacularly.
Lose. That's what that dog like. Don't tell me you watch Tottenham play well. What can I not? Dog, true, it Arsenal jersey, you know, but watching Tottenham. Oh my word. That's ridiculous. Like, unless your job is to watch football, look, you have no reason as an Arsenal fan to be watching Tottenham. I'll leave it there. Right? Anyway, let me get into it now. We talk about the lineup for this game. Obviously, you know, we boy Aubameyang caught in a little traffic, dropped for disciplinary reasons.
Aubameyang reached late for the derby.
How you gonna reach late for the North London derby, boy? Nobody forgiving a little bit for that. Like, because we win, he getting a pass. But imagine had we not won, you understand? Imagine if, you know, Lacazette didn't score that penalty. Everybody would have been saying, look, if he was on time, you'd have been there to get them chances that Lacazette take.
Aubameyang reach late for the derby.
That's a cardinal sin, boy. I give Mikel Arteta big props. I mean, obviously, the highest paid player of the club right now, the captain of the club right now, technically, the best player of the club right now. I mean, you know, rivaling him is like players like Saka and Kieran Tierney.
And you reach late for the derby.
Crazy, boy. I give Mikel big props for dropping him for that. And it says to me two things, that it's not the first time that it's happened. And so, and, you know, he put on his foot. And what a time to put on your foot in a real important game. Like, let's show how important this is. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
The values of the club, it shows how important the values of the club is.
For sure. So, obviously, nobody's upset that he was dropped. Except Aubameyang, obviously.
He was pissing, man.
Yeah, he was mad.
The man didn't even stay for the cooler.
I kind of thought he would have get to sub on it, but I was like, nah, boy, I doubt it.
They couldn't get any man a sweat.
Another game of importance to Bellerin not starting. You see Cedric start. And then, you know, everybody's favorite pivot, Partey and Xhaka. And then, obviously, but Caillou, Emile Ude, no, and Lacazette. No Willian to start this game. Surprise!
Oh, I'm so happy.
Surprise!
But when I saw the lineup, I was like, Arteta bringing all the kids to just run Tottenham, though.
But more than that, too, Boyan, I feel like Arteta literally picked the players who playing the best outside of Aubameyang. This lineup was like, okay, well, they're not playing good, Cedric. You understand? Gabriel has been playing good recently. Gabriel. You know? What going on with Holland though?
I don't know.
Since he had that little injury.
Since W's come back, I don't know. He disappeared.
That rough, boy. But I mean, he playing the man who playing well. Emil, back in the team as well. He playing the best players currently as is. I still want to see Pepe though. I feel like I'd take Pepe over Emil out on the left.
But Emil had the best.
Game no, I just talking, like, I'm not talking from hindsight. I'm just talking, like, watching it. I probably would have take Emil.
Pepe
over Emil. That's not me watching it hindsight. That's me just talking, you know?
Because Emil...
Yeah, boy, hit that bar, boy.
No, one couldn't cope. That Tottenham right back couldn't cope.
Yeah, boy, Doherty had a troubling game. let me get into the... to the first goal now. Obviously Eric Lamela coming on for Son who came off. And I say this for certain people who may be listening. We can't celebrate men getting injured. Regardless of who you are, what you are, I can't celebrate nobody getting injured. You know? So recovery, Son. But, you know, some kind of unfortunate that he had to come off for him. Mm-hmm. First, good news, right? I mean, Abin said LaMelo came on and the man who was kind of terrorizing us for most of the game for the entire 90 minutes, the only bright spark for Tottenham, Lucas Moura. Just, you know, casually laying the ball off. He run harder, but good thing that's all he could do. anyway, Addison play by Tottenham, they came down the right, they put the ball into the box, they got it back out to the left. I felt like Saka should have closed down the...
Saka can't close on nothing because his leg's done.
But I felt like he, and that's more Mikel's fault than him, but he should have closed down a little better. Lucas gets it, and he lays it off for LaMelo. And I cannot thought LaMelo can't really do nothing here. We have plenty of players in the box. If he shoot, shift to left to shoot, block. If he shift to right to shoot, block. You're going to know how to look to pass. And that one flicking Rabona.
I didn't even see it in the first.
Like, we were sitting watching it, and I was like, he Rabona it? And they were like, nah, but I know he do that. I was like, dog, he Rabona it, dog. Like, the height of disrespect, dog, like, whew. I couldn't believe it, but like, up to this moment, I couldn't believe that in that split second, that man just hit that Rabona with all that power, tongue in the corner.
All that accuracy.
All that accuracy. Like, that's crazy, but like, whew. I mean, props. But, he's our bastard, that's why you get your red card.
this game, well, besides the Hotties reading the number 32 whole match, because that's all you see.
You're reading 32 and 3. All you were seeing 3-2, 3-2, he's getting confused. You're seeing 3 and 3-2, and he was like, what's going on? There's a blur, right?
He couldn't stop none of them.
I think before we get into our goals, right? I think I was real disappointed with the referee for this game.
The referee was terrible, look. Terrible. Men actually raising the referee because they're saying the referee let the game run. Bro, the amount of yellow cards Tottenham was supposed to get.
I'm not saying he didn't let the, I'm not saying that he didn't let the game run or not. There was a point in time, who was playing in their midfield, but it was it Højbjerg? I think it was somebody playing in it. It was Højbjerg.
And he won, he walked up to the man, dog.
And tell the man there's your fourth or fifth foul.
Count five on the hand on the 5,000 and still didn't give my card on it.
That's crazy, though. Like, by the time somebody hit three bad tackles, three fouls, that's a yellow. Like, he needs to be warned that you need to stop him. And the man didn't get a yellow. And he got a yellow? He didn't even get a yellow card in the game. That's so crazy, man. Like, and what pissed me off a little bit was, like, there was a lot of tackles flying in from Tottenham in this game, and nobody was being carded. And the one time Granit Xhaka do a little bad tackle, yellow. I didn't understand it. It's like, at least be consistent. You can't let them get away with tackles all game, consistent fouling all game. I mean, look at what this guy did. Harry Kane did to Gabriel. I think he did the same thing to Partey, just barging his shoulder into him. Like, these are bull offenses. I really hope that the FA looks at these things. They're not going to, because that's the English captain. But, that'll look at these things. I mean, everybody know that's a long goal, long boy. But that'll look at these things, because and Harry Kane is somebody that notoriously gets away with these kind of sting tackles when the referee not really looking. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
And yeah, they get punished for it. So that's how I feel. I was real annoyed by the goals. Not the goals. I was real annoyed by the amount of fouls that Tottenham were able to do in this game. And the mere fact that the only person carded. Not the only person carded, sorry. But the mere fact that outside of Davinson Sanchez being yellow carded for the penalty attempt, only Reguilón and Eric LaMelo were the only players on this team to see a yellow card. When Kane should have one for sure, Højbjerg should have one for sure. I didn't see Ndombele doing too much tackles as well, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, they had players on the field that should have been yellow card.
He can't tackle when he's busy chasing number 18.
Yeah, he didn't.
All he sees is number 18 back.
Who's that?
Thomas.
And Ndombele?
Yeah.
But yeah, so let me get into the first goal that we scored now. We hit the bar twice in this game, man. Huh?
I know Emil.
Emil hit the bar. That was a sweet, sweet shot, boy. That's the kind of shot where you just say, boy, like, you just hope them thing go in, boy. Like, just to give him the accolades that they deserve for that attempt. I just had a brilliant play. And then to take that shot, like, we had plenty of shots from outside. And it wasn't, like, just, like, bad shots skying. There was, like, some real threatening shots. We had that shot with Kieran Tierney. He put the ball back and Lacazette dummy it. On nobody because Xhaka had the legs really and Cedric takes his shot from outside the box and you know hit the post. I think we hit the post twice in this game for sure. So I mean that's it, but other than that, again to that first goal now, Martin Odegaard. Let me start with Kieran now, boy. Because this was a symbol of what Pepe was doing to the Leicester. It was the right back, the Leicester right back. When we played them, with Brendan Rodgers had to sub him off at half time.
Shucks, yeah, boy.
Kieran Tierney and Emi was doing what I want. When I see Kieran Tierney, he just came out dirty.
What shucks?
Out on the right hand side.
Easy!
Yeah, understand? He just hit him that quick skins, bow, gone, cut it back. And Odegaard just, you know, slap it in. A little help from Alderweireld to make sure that I go into the net. But, you know, cool.
Double and
at the end of the day, as the commentators rightfully said, Arsenal deserved the goal because we totally dominated the
even
game.
Though it wasn't a clean goal, the amount of domination we had in the match, you know, warranted
bound to score for sure. As glad that we was able to get our goal in. I think had we not won this game, I'd have been not even just regular amounts of disappointed, but a huge amount of disappointed because we had a lot of chances. We needed to score before the 20th minute. We needed to go in to that halftime like 3-0 up, boy. You know? And it's kind of unfortunate that we went in like 1-1. Mm-hmm. You know? So, was it? Yeah, 1-1. We went in 1-1 at the half. But yeah, we talk about the penalty though. That we scored.
It's definitely that penalty though. People say that you don't take your shot already. But the one he clattered to him follow through, even though Lacazette already took the shot.
I mean,
my counter argument to that he took the shot already thing is, if you pass the ball already and a man clatter it anywhere else in the pitch is a foul, and if you get fouled in the box, it's a penalty. Also, because Lacazette didn't strike the ball clean, the ball kind of like literally rolled like one step away from him. So if the man didn't clatter him, Lacazette may have been able to catch his balance and still get a proper chance on goal. You never know.
Yeah, for sure.
Tackle the ball under the man. You understand? Come from the right side or come from the wrong side and expect not to be, you know, a risk of a penalty.
So I was listening to like the commentators are like, that's a harsh penalty, that's soft. And, you know, I was listening to ESPN. Who knows why I was listening to ESPN? And only one person from ESPN was like, "Is a penalty," and it was a Spurs fan. You know, I lost a tiny little bit of respect for Xhaka, but I keep him a respect for Xhaka because he's a trainer. And you know, men talking like, you know, Davinson Sanchez's intent was to block the shot. Davinson Sanchez's intent was not to, you know, hit a teta. Sorry, why I say not teta? Not to hit a Lacazette. Mm-hmm. You understand? At the end of the day, the man lunged towards Lacazette and hit Lacazette. I don't care if Lacazette miskicked the ball. I don't care if Lacazette decided to lead the ball. I don't care if Lacazette decided he see the tackle coming, so you run into the path to get hit by it. When you lunge into a man and you get contact on the man, You know, men literally say this, Lacazette shot. He shot, carry, he foot into Davinson Sanchez.
All kind of crap,
like,
was.
What kind of crazy.
And when the man that? When the man kick, raise his leg to shoot, and he peg touch Davinson, it was a penalty.
You understand? Absolute garbage thinking. You understand what I'm saying? I was surprised. The way how Davinson lunged at him, I was surprised it wasn't even a consideration for like a red card tackle, because when you watch, I watching it back, right? You're seeing where Davinson is on one leg, lunging towards blocking the shot.
He's playing like a superhero, though.
You understand? Had Lacazette been like an inch closer, he hit him in the thigh. You understand what I'm saying? That's crazy to me. Like, your people can't say that that is not a penalty. I mean, we could argue the veracity of whether it's a yellow or a red. I could take my loss there. But that's a penalty all day, every day. It doesn't matter how somebody hit the ball, the intended hard behind the tackle. If you tackle me and miss and hit me, you're wrong. I don't even understand the argument. You're wrong. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
You have to go for the ball. If you, of course, you're going for the ball. So if you miss the ball and you hit me, it's a foul. I don't understand. Do I not understand the rules of football? Or is like the world forgetting the rules of football? But you know something? And I realized this. It's something about Arsenal, boy. Like, people just love to hate us, boy. And I will keep saying it. They love to hate us. I think if this was the other way around and David Luiz had done this, oh, you would have heard the outcry. He has a reputation, this and that. And that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Like, David Luiz saw red because he has a reputation. You understand what I'm saying? Don't try to come and tell me that that's not a penalty. But straight up, shout out to Lacazette. That's a good
pig dog.
That's a good pen. And at the end of the day, regardless of if it's a penalty or not, nobody watching a football game could argue whether or not we deserve to win that game. You understand? Absolutely 100% deserve to win that game. Although it was kind of nervy coming down to the end with Harry Kane getting like two free kicks. Shout out to the man Gabriel. Gabriel rescued our 2 points. He ensured that we get all three. When because
Gabriel secured this game for us.
Gabriel secured this game for us because this is the one time over the last three games where Leno properly pulled. He properly pulled.
He cooking good.
Yeah, when he was trying to look out past the wall and come back and then go like, yo, that's crazy though. Like pick your position now, boy. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Because I think that shot hit the bar. And then it bounced back into the box. And then they took a shot, Gabriel had it away. And then obviously that goal, Harry Kane scored, but it was offside. So, you know. But that's it there.
We end up getting some luck in the end.
But it's deserved luck, given the fact that correct, the referee was fighting.
Right.
We don't.
Correct,
look. It are real things against us.
Given the fact of how hard we work for us.
Yeah, we definitely deserve it. We deserve the win. That's against, above it all, we deserve the 3 points that game. You understand? And I feel it, you know. I don't want to say I feel it, but I know the moments where we do deserve the 3 points, but we still want it. So I understand that the Tottenham fans who know that they didn't deserve it, but they still want the 3 points.
Yeah.
But nobody could argue that we didn't deserve that win, and it could have easily be 4-1 on the day. And you know, I'm just glad that we was able to secure that W. So as I said at the beginning of this podcast, London, not even just North London, is red. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going to improve it. We can because we have our next London team to thump up. Feel like it'd be in the top half of the table. We're going to deal with them too. You understand? So obviously, I mean, I think I'm expecting to see a rotated team when we play Olympiacos because it's more or less secured. And yeah, we're gonna play West Ham.
We could put out who we want. Before you go into that, I just have a question, right?
Yeah.
So, could anybody answer me this question? I hope. How is it possible? Like, what logical reason would you be a Trinidadian supporting Tottenham? I do get it. Somebody explain that for me, please, in the comments. Thanks.
Yeah, reach out to Keegan. In fact, reach out to me too, because I don't understand it. I know some Tottenham fans though, some big football fans. I know at least of one person that is a Tottenham fan. But I don't get it. I don't get it. I feel like it had to be some kind of familiar relationship.
It had to be something.
It can't be like you grew up watching football. The time you grew up watching football and choose that club. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to choose Tottenham.
Arsenal Wenger wins and that whole club is true.
Like if you wanna say that, like if you're a fan like of Man United or somebody, you wanna say like Arsenal is a losing club. Like Tottenham is an even more losing club. like the 10 times worse. Like they're terrible. They'll never amount.
Right, and 10 times worse is our understatement.
What do we think of Tottenham?
Hey,
hey. Boy, say don't use them words.
No, don't use them words.
But yeah, that's what it is. Tottenham is shit. Alright.
Well, I mean, there's been a ton of bulls, so. See, I don't understand.
Oh, that makes so much sense, bro.
Well,
let's go, boy. Obviously, we're gonna play Olympiacos in the second leg, and then we're gonna go on to playing West Ham. I think we would. Well, it don't matter. We'll be in London, right? So we playing West Ham, and I think after that we probably have our Europa. Now we probably get a little break from the Europa League after that. We playing West Ham. I think. I'm going to say it again, 3-0 for Olympiacos and probably 2-0 for West Ham. West Ham has been playing good, right? So most likely we'll try to be back after that West Ham game. And, you know, we actually kind of going real long this time, but it was kind of exciting, this podcast. But I'm kind of falling asleep, a small thing, you know.
Fall asleep, exactly, right?
So once again, you know, we want to thank you all for listening. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, you know, tell all your friends, tell all your Arsenal friends about this podcast, get them involved, and you know, let them know how much fun you have been having listening to our voices. So once again, we want to thank you all for listening, and this has been Gunapod TT. Boom!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gunapod TT.